From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And we need to get things started officially. Let's do it with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. I like this one. It says, a crisis is when you can't say, let's forget the whole thing. Yep. I'll give you a good example, too. When riots were redefined as freedom of expression.
Most illogical reaction.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Why?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, stop with that. Nobody believes that. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1908... Model T Fords were offered for sale at a price of $825. See, today, $825 won't even buy a set of tires for your car. What did I pay for my last set of tires a couple of months ago? I think it was like $1,100. And it was on this day in 1931 the George Washington Bridge opened, linking New Jersey and New York. I don't think most New Yorkers ever forgave the highway department for that.
And the hits just keep on coming.
We're barely more than a month away from Election Day. And tonight, of course, is the big debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. If I were a betting man, I'd say J.D. Vance is going to win it. But there's that age difference. So I don't know if deep down inside the mind of J.D. Vance, he's going to be intimidated by Tim Walz. Probably not, because J.D. Vance so far has proven himself to be pretty sharp and very quick on his feet. And he could be the undoing of this thing. Now, this thing is going to air tonight. I think it's 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. CBS is actually hosting the thing, but you'll be able to watch it on PBS. But the thing that you want to know right now is, little by little, Donald Trump is really gaining in his in the most recent polling, in his trying to distance himself from Kamala Harris. And this is in a number of key polls, okay? He holds a slight 2-point lead nationwide. So according to the latest findings from Rasmussen Reports, Trump's leading Harris by 48% to 46% among likely voters. Now that's a trend that's remained pretty steady for the past 3 weeks. And again, it's polls. And these polls always manage to prove themselves wrong on Election Day. See? Now, this poll underscores the stagnant nature of the race, or so it appears. Okay. Despite both candidates ramping up their campaigns, of course, they have to. Harris's recent media blitz and, oh, God, serious spending have yet to yield any notable increase in support, which I find very interesting because as I'm watching TV, I'm seeing far more ads on TV for Democrat candidates. For instance, where I live, I'm seeing this guy, Colin Allred, running probably 10 to 1 or more than 10 to 1 more than the ads that Ted Cruz is running. But Cruz is doing a lot of advertising in smart places. Like I get a lot of texts from him. So I don't know. Maybe running all these ads on TV is a bottomless pit. Because how many people are actually sitting down and watching TV these days? A lot of people are busy working, trying to survive in this god-awful economy. So it appears that this is a stagnant campaign, with both candidates stuck where they are. But when you watch people, for instance, the Alabama game on Saturday, when Trump showed up, he got there about halfway through the first quarter. The entire place went bonkers with chants of four more years in USA. So, you know, that kind of enthusiasm doesn't happen anywhere around Kamala Harris. And we all know this. So, one of the more significant findings in the recent surveys, and by recent, I mean within the last week, is the gender gap. That's narrowed compared to earlier polls. Now, Trump currently leads among men by 7 points, with 51% of men favoring him. And Harris maintains a slight edge among female voters, leading 49% to 46%. And this gender divide is critical, as both campaigns are looking to mobilize specific voter demographics before the election. Again, we're only 1 month and a couple of days away from the election. Now, Trump's consistent performance in the polls is even more notable. See, given the challenges he faced in previous elections, given the challenges he's facing in this one, he still has a media, an entire media industry that is against him. And it's gotten so bad, they don't even hide it anymore. Watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. Watch them all. And you see one common denominator. Every single one of these media outlets is dead set against Donald Trump. So much so, they're willing to prop up this woman who offers absolutely nothing of substance in her platform. Now, in 2016, Trump's support was lower than it is now. And his ability to sustain a lead, even if narrow, suggests a solidified base. And, of course, growing momentum among independent voters. And I think those are the people who are going to swing this election, the independent voters. Meanwhile, Harris struggles in key swing states, and she's not doing well there. You know, you got your Georgia, Arizona, North Carolina, especially now in the wake of the storms. I mean, this all further complicates her path to the White House. And in Arizona, for instance, Trump holds a narrow lead of 50% to 49%, while in Georgia, he's similarly ahead by just 1 point. North Carolina remains a toss-up because both candidates are locked in this 49% tie. Now, despite Trump's small lead, Harris does have strengths, believe it or not, particularly among women and minority voters. See, these are the people who don't vote for substance. They vote for somebody who looks like me or somebody who's the same gender as me. And she leads significantly with African-American voters, believe it or not, holding 86% of their support in Georgia compared to Trump's 13%. She's not even black. But Harris's performance among Latino voters hasn't matched her predecessor. In Arizona, Trump leads Harris among Latino voters by 51% to 49%. And that is a huge contrast to Biden's 24-point advantage with this particular demographic back in 2020. Now, Texas, of course, is a traditionally Republican stronghold. And here in Texas, we remain an essential battleground for both campaigns because in recent weeks, Trump extended his lead here with polls showing him ahead of Harris by a margin of 50.9% to 45.6%. Out in a rural area where I live, almost 50 miles east of Houston, man, you can see all kinds of Trump flags and signs out. Harris has attempted to cut into Trump's lead with campaign efforts targeting key voter groups, but the state's recent polling, Texas recent polling, suggests that the Democrats still face an uphill battle. Now, all of our big cities are blue. Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, very, very blue. Fort Worth, though, big town, that is mostly a red city. They have a Republican mayor. In fact, they've had Republican mayors for quite some time there in Fort Worth. But I want to point out something. The mayor of Dallas switched parties here a few months back, and he's now a Republican. But he has a complete Democrat city council. So as this race progresses, both Trump and Harris, more than likely, continue to focus on battleground states like Georgia and Arizona, because those margins in those states remain very slim. I don't think that Trump needs to worry about Texas. The real question remains whether either candidate's going to be able to break out of the deadlock and establish a commanding lead in the final weeks of the campaign. I think if I'm concerned about any race, it's the one between this character, Colin Allred, and Ted Cruz. For some reason, Ted Cruz lacks that warm and fuzzy charisma. And unfortunately, here again, talking about these voters who don't vote for substance. They vote for someone who either looks like them or somebody whose personality really warms them up. And Ted Cruz always falls short in that department, because I think he still comes across as being too stiff. And it's a shame, because Ted Cruz, I don't know if you've ever watched Cruz in the congressional hearings, but the man is relentless. He's good. He's thorough. He's very well educated. But this guy, Colin Allred, has the Democrat machine behind him. And the Democrat machine right now is going full tilt boogie to try to turn Texas blue. It may happen, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. Retired Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott just blew the whistle on how the Biden administration allegedly went to great lengths to hide the immigration crisis from the public. And this was just days after a sector chief made similar claims. Is all of this coming out of the woodwork now? I don't know, but we can thank our friends over at the Daily Caller for the report. Aaron Heidke, a former chief patrol agent for the Border Patrol's San Diego sector, testified before a House committee. This is back on the 18th of September, and claimed that the White House ordered agents to hide information on arrests of special interest aliens, what they call SIAs. Imagine that. And move masses of illegal migrants out of sight of the press and give other instructions to disguise the true level of the border crisis. See, what I don't understand is the media loves the Democrats, but the Democrats don't necessarily love the media. So why this allegiance to the Democrat Party on the part of the media? I don't know. These people in the media are sick. But anyhow, Scott, who led Border Patrol from roughly the last year of the Trump administration to the first 7 months of the Biden mess, was talking with the people at the Daily Caller. And he was given, according to his account, he was given similar orders. Hide these people. Scott told Daily Caller, he says, there was a gag order put on us literally within minutes of the Biden administration taking office. Imagine that. But then again, you remember probably full well how Joe Biden sat down behind the Resolute desk and started taking stacks and stacks and stacks of Donald Trump's accomplishments and just destroying them. So Scott said, quoting him, he says, the chief of staff for Customs and Border Protection, when she arrived, one of her first orders was to forbid us from talking to the public or doing press releases or doing media without the White House clearing our statements. Not only were they not cleared, when they finally did give us talking points, they weren't even accurate. They weren't truthful. So here again, this goes back to the question that I asked yesterday. You remember when I went on my big rant yesterday about how is this, meaning this mess at the border, opening the border completely to anybody and everybody who wants to come in, regardless of their background, regardless of their criminal history, everybody is allowed in. And if they're caught, they're released to the interior of our country. The number of rapes and murders is way up. Crime is way up everywhere across the nation, even in places that were pretty much crime-free in previous years. Those statistics have been just exploding. How is enabling this, the way the Biden administration has, how is this not treason? Because they are facilitating the destruction of our company, our country, and our culture. So getting back to Mr. Scott here, his tenure as Border Patrol leader overlapped with Kamala Harris' assignment to address the root causes of illegal immigration from Central America, which she never did. And I put the onus, really, on Congress. In these congressional hearings, why was she not subpoenaed to come in and testify? So anyhow, Scott confirmed that Harris never once spoke to him, even after her designation as border czar. Of course, we know what's behind that. That was nothing but just a title. It was a political move. That's all it was. Absolutely no substance to that title at all. So having worked in Border Patrol since the early 1990s, this guy Scott has a bit of experience, right? And he experienced multiple changes in the administration. He said higher ups clamping down on communication to the public was nothing new. He's gone through that before, but the sheer level of control handed down by the Biden-Harris administration was nothing he'd experienced before. He said no press conferences were approved. All border tours were shut down. It was unprecedented. I've never seen a gag order that tight. Wow. So Scott's comments follow the testimony given by Heitke, where the former San Diego sector chief agent said he was prohibited from talking about the rising number of SIAs, you know, migrants who potentially pose a national security risk to our country, unlawfully crossing the border. So Heitke told the House Homeland Committee, he says, prior to this administration, the San Diego sector averaged 10 to 15 SIAs per year. One word was out that the border was far easier to cross. I'm sorry. Once word was out that the border was far easier to cross, San Diego went over 100 SIAs in 2022, way over 100 SIAs in 2023, and more than that this year. These are the only ones we caught. At the time, I was told I could not release any information on this increase in SIAs or mention any of the arrests. The administration was trying to convince the public that there was no threat at the border. Well, we knew that. You know, we may not be the smartest public on the planet, but we're not stupid. We can see through all this stuff. So Heitke also went into considerable detail about the alleged steps that the Biden-Harris administration would take to hide masses of migrants from reporters, accusing the White House of portraying fiction to the public. He said, again, we're talking about this fellow Heitke, San Diego sector chief. He said, each time we asked for help in dealing with a new issue, it fell on deaf ears. At times in San Diego, we had 2,000 or more aliens sitting in between the fences asking to turn themselves in. I was told to move them out of sight of the media. So this isn't the first time that agents have accused the administration of intentionally trying to cover up the extent of the border crisis from the media. Ahead of Harris's first trip to the border in El Paso, you remember that idiotic junket? That was back in 21. Administration officials gave explicit instructions to clear the area of migrants in order to put on a show for the vice president. And this is according to Border Patrol sources who spoke with the New York Post. Love the New York Post. They're sharp up there. So while an executive order issued by Biden in June led to a steady decline in illegal crossings along the U.S.-Mexico border in recent months, his administration had overseen a major wave of illegal immigration into the country after issuing a slate of executive orders that largely dismantled the Trump administration's border agenda. Again, something we all were aware of. Yeah, the media denied it, but we knew the truth. Border Patrol agents have encountered more than 7 million migrants illegally crossing into the U.S. since the beginning of the of this current administration. And this is according to the latest data from Customs and Border Protection. In other words, these are just the numbers we know about. What about the numbers we don't? So this massive wave of illegal migration has strained the resources of major sanctuary cities like New York, Chicago, and we actually have been seeing stories coming out of there. I mean, I will say this for the media, as much as they love Democrats, they've actually been telling some stories. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that these people who work in the mainstream media live in these sanctuary cities. They live in either Chicago, New York, L.A. Ha-ha. So it's got to affect them. I'll tell you what, and I should probably be struck by lightning for saying this or suggesting this, but here's what it's going to take to get the media to turn around. When a member of the media is raped and killed by one of these illegal aliens, then maybe, just maybe, their POV might change a little bit. So getting back to Mr. Scott here, he commended his former colleague for speaking out, noting that doing so puts his ability to make an income at risk. This is something that we don't generally think about, but that's what happens. You got many retired agents who don't speak out because companies and other private contractors that work with the federal government want to avoid the publicity that can come with working with or hiring whistleblowers. So Scott said, I'm quoting him here, he says, I think it's very problematic that the administration's trying to hide so much relevant information from the public. I'm very, very grateful that Chief Heitke stepped up and decided to share that information with the public, because that really hurts his ability to get contract jobs in the future. Heitke's not only taking a risk, he's knowingly cutting his family's income by standing up for what's right. And isn't that just disgusting that we live in this kind of a society? You're truthful. You want to do the right thing, you go ahead and do the right thing, and you're ostracized for it. You know, it's. I don't know. Collectively, we seem to have turned to just a nation of sickos. I don't know what scares me more, the idea of this transgenderism and trying to encourage kids to change their sexes, or the fact that there are people out there who think that's perfectly okay and that it's normal. Well, this guy, Colin Allred, I just dropped his name a little earlier in the podcast here. He's the Democrat Texan who's running to unseat Ted Cruz. And believe it or not, this guy actually implored the House Armed Services Committee to fund transgender surgeries for members of the military. This isn't something he did some time ago. This was just back on Friday. Okay? Now, this guy Allred, joined by four other Democrat House members, argued in this letter that they sent that provisions in the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, prohibiting military funds from paying for transgender surgeries, functionally barred service members from accessing medically necessary care. Really? He claims that by not funding sex change operations through the NDAA, Republicans are hurting our military readiness and preventing transgender-identifying service members from focusing on their missions. Yeah. You know, when I was in the service between 1968 and 1972, just the mere thought of this kind of thing was enough to get you thrown out of the service or barred from entering the military. And we need to go back to that again. We really do. So military health insurance already covers hormone therapy and psychological counseling for transgender service members. And a Cruz campaign spokesperson speaking to the media said, day after day, Colin Allred shows Texans who he really is. He's a radical who'll destroy Texas and America. His record on transgender issues puts our children and families at risk. The women and children of Texas simply can't afford to have him as the next United States Senator representing Texas. Amen. Now, Allred also took issue with provisions in the NDAA that ban the flying of the Pride flag, prohibit drag shows from being held in military installations, and a provision he alleges creates a transgender book ban. Again, that's just an allegation on his part. But here again, I have to wonder. Okay, methinks he doth protest a little too much. So, the letter where he and, what was it, four others signed? If service members are concerned for their health care, their right to exist, or the well-being of their children and loved ones, they cannot focus on their jobs, thereby weakening military readiness and retention rates. Come on, that's pure BS. Total BS. He says, ensuring our ranks reflect the diversity of the American people is essential to the morale and cohesion of our armed forces and to our national security. Again, bullcorn. My God. So the race between Cruz and Allred, it looks like Cruz is going to win. But it's a relatively narrow margin, again. Here you have these radicals on the left. And how can this race be so close between Trump and Harris? How can it be so close between people like Ted Cruz and this nut job, Colin Allred? How can this be? So Real Clear Polling had Cruz beating Allred by 5 points. And in these days, that's pretty darn good. And that's as of September 28th, a few days back, based on an average of polls. Now, one poll conducted by Morning Consult between September 9th and September 18th has Allred leading Cruz by 1 point within the survey's margin of error. But then again, that's, you know, left-wing polling organization. Let's get on over to the Comedy Corner and Mark Yaffe.
Love this job. I get to travel all over. I got to go to New York City, the city that never sleeps. Yeah, because no one can afford an apartment with a bed. I looked into moving to New York City for comedy, affordable housing options, jail, rehab, and the Bronx Zoo. But New York is fun, though, man. It's got energy. It's got excitement and passion and very patriotic. New York City, very patriotic. Red, white, and blue everywhere. I'm like, man, I have never seen so many Puerto Rican flags in my life. I'm not from New York City. I come from the West Coast. I come from a city by the name of Los Angeles, California. I lived in an area of Los Angeles called Pacoima, which is Spanish for, just park on the lawn. And I lived in the outskirts of L.A., but some of our neighbors on this blocks, a few blocks from our house, they had horse properties. They had half-acre lots with horses in L.A. They'd be out riding around. Last time I went to visit, I'm at a red light. This guy comes riding up on horseback. He's got cowboy boots, jeans, belt buckle, Stetson, and a Snoop Dogg t-shirt. Yeah, the guy was hip-hop and clip-clop. My ex-wife and I, we had a horse. Anyone else own one of these four-legged money pits? Oh, the horse. That's the only pet you buy. It's food by the ton. A horse will kick, bite, buck, and bankrupt you in one afternoon. I'm like, hey, honey, I did the calculations. We can either send the girls to four-year university and medical school or keep the horse another 12 weeks. My ex-wife loved that horse. That horse hated her. He would buck her off on trail rides, try to bite her. She wouldn't get rid of the horse. She tried everything. She'd buy a new saddle, a new bit, new feed, new horseshoes. Finally, she got so desperate, she hired a horse psychic. That is actual thing, horse psychic. The day of the appointment, it's 5 minutes to 10. I'm like, where's your horse psychic? Your appointment's at 10 o'clock. She goes, it's a phone reading. 10 minutes later, I look out in the field. She's walking around the horse holding up the phone so the psychic can get in touch with its inner pony, or evidently. 45 minutes and $175 later, we found out the horse is fine. Owner, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.